Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Beitz Lamed Aleph. We begin at the Mishnah right on top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Mevi'in Eitzim Min Asad, on Yom Tov, one may deliver some wood from his field. Min HaMechunos, provided that those twigs have already been collected, gathered, and perhaps piled up from before Yom Tov, which is an indication of the fact that it's being prepared for firewood use. So although it's a sada, which is an unenclosed, exposed area, but since he had gathered that wood in advance of Yom Tov, that indicates that he's going to use it as firewood, and that removes any muktzah concerns. Another option, umina karfif, and he can bring some wood from a karfif, a storage area, a fenced off, enclosed area. Afilu min hamefuzer, in this case, even if those twigs are dispersed throughout the karfif. But since it's in a secure area, he depends on it. He anticipates its use, and it's considered miyuchad amezuman for firewood use, in which case it's not muktzah. So it's one or the other. Either location, sitting in a secure area where he depends on that for his supply, or if it's an open area but it's been gathered in advance for this purpose. Either way, there's no muktzah concerns. Ezo karfif. How exactly do we define a karfif in the context of our discussion? Kol shus samach l'ir, as long as it's within the city limits, divi Rabbi Yehuda, some explain, within the municipal boundaries, it's the 70 plus a bit amma, within that proximity, the karfif is considered a proper karfif, close by and accessible, in which case he relies on its content for his firewood supply, and it's not muks. Rabbi Yosi Eimer, he has a different way to set the value. Kol shenichnos lebepesachas, as long as you need to get into it by way of a key, you need a key to open the lock. It's a secure, enclosed area. In that case, we consider it to be a karfev. Va'afilu b'soich tum Shabbos, even if it's not really close by, it's far away, it's just about within Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 amma of the city. That's okay because it's a safe, secure, enclosed area, in which case he depends on the wood supply in that area for his firewood use. Let's go over to Rashi on the top line. Masnis Mavin Eitzim Atlusha Minasada is gathering detached twigs, obviously. Minasada Shabatecha Tchum B'yamtiv. So if it's in a soda, you can take it as long as it's min hamechunos imkinsoy me'erev Yom Tov. It was already pre-gathered, the goli daiti. By doing so, he has demonstrated the dalayu samev that he's depending on this for his use. Ve'enon muktzah, it's not considered set aside. Ala aval hamefuzaren muktzin. But those twigs which are dispersed throughout his soda, they're muktzah. There was never an intention to use them as firewood. If it's in an enclosed area, shumer shtamer, mukaf, saviv, it's a safe, secure, enclosed area, afilu mefuzaren shiboyloiksim edaitoy, even dispersed twigs, he still has his mind on it because he knows he'll go to the karfif, he'll find some twigs, it's a safe area, and therefore it's considered designated for this purpose. What is a karfif according to Rabbi Yehuda? Samach le'ir mamish, according to Rabbi Yosi, as long as you need a key to get in there, afilu b'toich tchum Shabbos, b'soifa, although at the end of tchum Shabbos, around 2,000 away from the city, it's still considered close enough, and something that he depends upon, because we're speaking about a secure location, and therefore, it's miyuchad for his use. So before we get into the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi on how to define a karfif, which will be discussed later on in the Gemara. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. You need one positive element here. Location or position. If it's a secure location, anything within it is considered slated for domestic use, even though it's dispersed. On the other hand, if position is good, it's collected, it's mechunas, it's considered mezuman for personal use, despite the fact that it's sitting in a sada, an exposed area. So one or the other. either secure or gathered. Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel, no. You need two favorable elements to remove the muktzah concern. Ein mevin etam elamen amuchonasin. Number one has to be gathered. Shebekarf, inside this enclosed area. So the only way you can bring wood on Yom Tov is if it's coming from a secure area, a karfev, and has been gathered in advance. What do you mean, v'anan t'nan? In our Mishnah we learned, one or the other is sufficient. Mina karfev, if you have the secure location, v'afilu mina mefuzarm, even if it's dispersed, that's okay, because it depends on it. Mas nisin yichidahi, our Mishnah, which holds that one element is enough, is following a das yachid, the opinion of an individual who was challenged by the Chachamim, who hold that really you need two positive elements to allow use. Desani, where do we find the das yachid? Amar Pshimra Lazar. Le'nechel kubei shamei v'yisil. Pshimra Lazar's presentation indicates as such. He says, there was never a machlokes between Mishamei v'yisil as pertaining to Hilchos Muktzah, al ha'mefuzar shebesodis. If you have two negative ingredients, it's mefuzar, it's dispersed, you don't have the position, and it's shebesadis, in an open field, you don't even have that location. She'ein mevin, you can't use that wood because he never really expected to use it for Yom Tov. It's not designated for Yom Tov use, it's sitting out in the field, who knows it's going to be there, he didn't collect it, it's muktzah. So that's agreed upon by all shittos. On the other hand, if you have two positive elements, v'alamachunasin, shebekarfev, so you have it gathered, that's position, you have the karfev, secure location, that's certainly something that he can depend upon and rely upon, and he prepared it for Yom Tov use. Shemavim, all agree, in this case, it's not muktzah, you can use it. Amanechaku, on one then do we have achlekes? When there's one positive and one element, alamachunasin, it's dispersed, so you're lacking the positioning, shebekarfev, but it's in a secure location. So you have location without position. Or, v'al ha-mechunosin, shebesadis. It's collected, but out in the field. You have position, but not location. Here we have one positive and one negative. Shebeshame oimim lo yavi. Beshame say it's muktzah. That's not enough to consider it designated for Yom Tov use. Ube esil oimim yavi. According to them, either one of these conditions suffices to make it something that he depends upon, something which he intends on using, and takes away the muktzah concern. So here we have the Das Yachad of Shimon Lazar, who presents the halacha as such, that according to Beis Hillel, one or the other is enough, whereas according to Chachamim, who disagree with Shimon Lazar's version of events, you need both elements present, position and location, and that's where Shmuel was coming from. The only way you can use Eitzim is if they're coming from a Karfif, a secure location, which you can depend upon, and also, it had to have been gathered before in Mechunasim. Amar Rava, Ale Kanim Ale Gifanim. Reed leaves or vine leaves, which are lightweight material, Afagav de Mechan Filhu, Umoisvi, even though we gather them together, put them together in a pile, Kiva de Madli Zika, since they're lightweight, and as soon as the first Zika, the first wind, this Madli comes along and blows, Mevadalu. It's going to disperse them. In that case, we treat them as though they're dispersed. They don't have the model, the advantage of the fact that they were gathered. Vasurin, and they're considered to be muktzah. Because it's not something that he can rely upon. He's not samich das, Rashi says. Miss stomach, he figures next wind will just blow them away. And realistically, he can't depend upon them, and they're not muktzah. And they're not considered designated. They're muktzah. However, we ask Nachmanam Esma Alayu, but if he placed a kli on these leaves, a paperweight, so he did this in advance of Yantav, Shapidami, in that case we say it's considered properly gathered material, and the Chiddush of Farshim point out is that even if it somehow got dispersed, it's still considered a non-mukta item because he gathered them securely, anticipating their use. So bottom line, the only way you can use firewood on Yantav from your field, from your karfiv, is if somehow you designate them for Yom Tov use, removing any muktzah concerns. How do you do that? Well, according to Rabbi Ben Shmuel, you need two elements. They have to be positioned in a secure location, which you can depend on. And number two, you have to indicate that you're preparing them for use, how do you do that? By gathering them together. According to Rav Shimon Elazar's version of events, which is our Mishnah, one eye or the other is enough. Either location, karfev, or gathered together, in which case location is irrelevant. So Mishnah spoke about a karfev. What is a karfev? Ezu karfev? In the context of our halacha. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol shesamach li'ir, if it's close to the city. Rabbi Yossi says, you need a key to get in there, to unlock the door to the karfif. So now, what were they arguing about? What's the machlekes? There are exactly three ways to understand the machlekes. Iboilu, so listen to this shaila. Hechei ka'amar, what did Rabbi Yehuda have in mind? When he said, Kol shesamach li'ir, does he need two conditions to be met? Number one, closeness, accessibility, and also, in addition to that, security and safety. Vuru, the Islay Pesach has provided, there's a lock and key to allow entry. So it's a closed place and secure place, in which case it's fully dependable for firewood supply. So Rabbi Yehuda says two conditions need to be met. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue on that and says, no, one or the other is enough. You don't need two conditions. Given this, I agree. If it's close to the city, that's okay. Accessibility removes mokzah. But you know what? Even if it's at a distance, but if it's a secure location, given this, if it has a lock, if you need a key to get in there, even if it's further, if it's within Tchum Shabbos, just barely accessible, it's okay because safety and security compensate for lack of closeness. So one or the other is enough to make it designated for Yom Tov use. Is that the way to understand the machlekes? Again, Rabbi Yehuda says two conditions need to be met: closeness, samach lir, accessibility, and it needs to be a secure place which you can depend upon. Here's a basic response: either this or that. That's what I want to learn. Or perhaps, let's learn the machlekes differently. Both opinions, both tanoim, require only one criterion. The question is which one? And that's the machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda holds, samach li'ir is a criterion, closeness, accessibility. Ease of access is primary, and that's what determines. And that's what makes it non-muktzah. What Rabbi Yossi says, security, dependability, is the most important factor, and that is kaveya, that is not muktzah. So perhaps that's the pshat. Oy dilma, hachi ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda says like this, kol shesamach li'ir, if it's close to the city, that's the ikar, that's the determinant factor. Bein di islei pesachas, bein lesli pesachas. Whether or not it has a lock and key, closeness is the determining factor. V'as Rabbi Yossi l'meir, Rabbi Yossi responds and says, no, I hold security is the determinant. Afilu b'seich t'chim Shabbos. Doesn't have to be close by, even if it's far away. V'daf k'dis l'pesachas, provided you need a key to get in there. Avales l'pesachas, but if it doesn't have that element, afilu samach l'ir namilo, even if it's close to the city, what good is it? It's here today, gone tomorrow. If it's not secure, he's not going to depend on it. He's not really preparing it. He's not really being making it for Yom Tov. So according to this approach, all agree one element is enough. According to Rabbi Yehuda, closeness, accessibility. According to Rabbi Yossi, safety and security. Tashma, listen to this. I have a third approach. Midiktani Rabbi Yossi Omer. And basically, this approach is going to hold that Rabbi Yehuda requires samach lir, as he indicates in the Mishnah. Closeness is what determines. That's it. It's that or nothing. Rabbi Yossi says, one or the other. So this is the third approach to the machlekes. Right, we began initially, perhaps the machlekes is whether you need two conditions, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or one condition, according to Rabbi Yossi. The next option was, all agree one condition. Depends which one. Rabbi Yehuda says, closeness. Rabbi Yossi says, security. The third option coming up now is going to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, samach is what is keveya, closeness. That's it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, either closeness or security. Tashma, make the ton, need Rabbi Yossi Omer. Take a look at the Lashon HaMishnah. What does the Beis Yosef say? Kol shenichnos lebepesachas v'afilu b'teichshum Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef responds to Rabbi Yudah, who said that you need samach liyer. He responded by saying, you know what? Even if it's far away, as long as you need a key to get in there, it's a secure location which safeguards your firewood. Even if it's far away, that's okay. That makes up for lack of close proximity. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yosef does not require a lock and key, or else he would have just said, you know what? You need a pesachas, and that's it. He elaborates further. He says, if you have a pesachas, you can have it even far away, which indicates that if it's close by, you don't need that security element there. So it's one or the other, either closeness or dependability. Shmamino, Rabbi Yosef, tate l'kula ka'amar shmamino. It's pretty clear that according to Rabbi Yosef, he's going l'kula both ways, meaning this or that. Either Samoch is enough, or Pesachas is enough, Shmamina. This is a good raya. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda evidently holds, closeness is the determinant. Right? That's it. Why? Because Rashi explains. If Rabbi Yehuda would require two things, Samoch and Pesachas, it wouldn't make sense that Rabbi Yehuda would respond by saying, you know what, if you need a key to get in there, it can be far away. As though he's introducing the concept of a key. If Rabbi Yehuda requires closeness and a key, then it's already been introduced to the Mishnah. Why is Rabbi Yehuda introducing it as though it's a new factor? He should have responded to Rabbi Yehuda by saying, no, you don't need both, one or the other. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda comes back and says, you know what, if there's a key needed, then you could have it even far away, as though he's introducing a new concept. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda was not requiring a lock and key. So that proves to us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all you need is closeness, and that's it. Otherwise, it's not the karfif that would allow gathering from within a yantiv. Rabbi Yosef says, that's true. Closeness is important. Accessibility is valuable. But on the other hand, if it's a secure location, that's also a positive element. And that makes up for the fact that it's not so close. Omer of Salah, Omer of Yermia, Lach Rabbi Yosef Lahakel. We follow Lahalacha. Rabbi Yosef Shita, Lekula. So one or the other is sufficient. In summation, what is considered a karfif? We have two possible definitions, close to the city or an enclosure which requires a key to get in. We have three possible presentations of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef. Initially we figured perhaps Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about two conditions that need to be met. Rabbi Yosef, one is enough. Next option was, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, one is enough. Question is, which one? Rabbi Yehuda requires closeness. Rabbi Yosef requires security. And the conclusion was that according to Rabbi Yehuda, one is enough. Which one? Samach. According to Rabbi Yosef, either one. Either Samach or Pesachas. Continues the Mishnah. Ein mevaken eitzim. On Yom Tov, you may not chop wood. Leimen occurs. Not from beams, you can't chop a pot of beam and use it as firewood. Nor can you use a beam which happened to collapse on Yom Tov. Great, a firewood. No, you can't do that. And in case you do want to chop, the Gemara will go on to elaborate on this Mishnah how the Reish and the Sefer work together. But in any case, when you are actually chopping on Yom Tov, be careful not to use professional tools which give the impression of malacha, which is inappropriate for Yom Tov. Rather, use an improvised method of chopping your logs. You can't use an axe, nor a sword, or a sickle, a meat cleaver. Somehow you figure a way to use that to chop your wood and split your logs. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Va'amris reisha en uvakin klal. We end up the Mishnah by giving you tips on how to chop wood, which appears from the Reisha that it's not something to be done at all in Yom Tov. The Gemara figures perhaps is a Tircha concern, not meant to do that on Yom Tov. So why does the Mishnah give us methods on how to do it? V'amas Reisha ain't nevakin klal. Amar v'dem rashmol, chasure mechzer v'chitoni. The Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some word, and learned as follows. Mishnah begins with a different concern. There are two separate concerns in the Mishnah. One is Muktzah. And if you manage to get around that, You have another concern. It shouldn't appear like you're involved in malacha by using professional tools. So initially the mission begins with the mukta concern. You can't chop from the pile of beams awaiting construction. That's mukta. Nor chopping apart a beam that happened to break on Yom Tov, because remember, going into Yom Tov was part of your structure, part of your house. It's off limits. And that muktzah status remains throughout. So initially we speak about muktzah. Then the Mishnah continues. Aval mavakin menakur shenishbar me'erev Yom Tov. You could certainly chop apart a beam which broke before Yom Tov and was prepared in advance of Yom Tov for firewood use. So now we address the muktzah concerns. Proceeds further the Mishnah by saying, but still be careful on which method you're going to use when you chop that wood. Do it in a manner which keeps with the spirit of Yom Tov. When they chop, that was an axe, a sickle, a magiru, nor a saw. It's rather with a knife. Somehow figure out how to use a knife, a big knife, a meat cleaver, to split apart your logs and cut your wood. We find the same in a braisa. That what? That the initial concern in the Mishnah is because of muktzah. You can't take from the pile of beams lined up for construction purposes. Nor from a beam which happened to collapse on Yom Tov. Because it's not prepared for Yom Tov use, it's muktzah. Now the Mefarshim point out that even according to Reb Shimon, who generally is not concerned about non-designation, but here he's going to agree that it's muktzah because of muktzah machmas chasar nakis, which we discussed yesterday, on account of its high value. We don't divert construction beams to be used as firewood. Even Reb Shimon agrees to that as considered muktzah. But when you do go ahead and chop wood, be careful to downplay it. V'loy b'kardim, don't use an axe. Now, before we begin, the Gemara is going to address a unique type of axe which has two sides, a double-sided axe. On one side, it's a bit of a wider blade. The Gemara calls it the nakvus and the keva, in contrast to the other side where it's a more of a pointy type of edge, which is called the zachar. Generally, the professionals would use the wide side to fell trees, to chop wood. So that side is meant to remain idle on Yom Tov. Avoid using the professional method of chopping. This whole concern of using an axe is only on that wide side. But if you're going to use that pointy side to split apart your logs, mutter, that's certainly okay. It's no different than a kofitz. It's an improvised manner of chopping wood. Well, pshita, isn't that obvious? But kofitz none. The Mishnah clearly gives us the license to use a kofitz, a pointy object. Why would this be different? Certainly, says the Gemara, of course it would be different. This is an axe. It's a professional tool. Perhaps you can't use any side, which would give the appearance that I'm a professional at work. Perhaps I would think, this allowance applies specifically to the knife, which is not meant to be used for cutting wood. That could be used on Yom Tov. It's a shina, it's a deviation in keeping with the Yom Tov spirit. But if you have an axe, which happened to have a sharp, a pointy side on the other side, well, perhaps the entire axe is meant to be off limits on Yom Tov. It's a professional tool. Ava, perhaps I would say, mi guda haigisa asa, just as the wide side is asa to be used, haigisa nami asa. Likewise, the pointy side should be off limits. We don't differentiate within the tool itself. Not everybody can tell the difference. Kamash malan, the chiddush is no. The wide side, not. But the pointy side, yes. Some applied Rav Chinuna's chiddush on the second part of the Mishnah. So according to the first edition of Rav Chinuna, it was actually a kula, that even within the axe we split one side from the other. One side is asur, the other side is mutter. According to the next version of the Gemara, it's going to be lechumra, even in the kofitz, which we allow in the Mishnah, but we are limited in its allowance. We limit it only to the sharp side of the koifetz. Apparently they had a double-sided koifetz as well. One side was sharper than the other. So the heter is only on the pointy side, but not on the wide side of the koifetz, which gives the appearance of an ordinary axe, and it's not appropriate for Yom Tov. V'yikah d'masnas seifa. Some applied this halach to the next part of the Mishnah. Elu b'koifetz. Don't use an axe, rather a koifetz. On that we have Amar Rav Chinna bar Shlomim from the Rav. You're limited. Lo yishana lo bezachas shaloi. Only the pointy side of the koifetz can be used. It's not something which is generally employed in cutting wood. Avo b'nakva shaloi also, but on the wide side, there's an issa because that's an efficient wood chopper. Well, pshita, of course, isn't that obvious? V'loy b'kayad v'tanan. The Mishnah certainly disallows using an axe. Well, perhaps the same thing would apply to the wide side of the koifetz. That's pashit, that it's us. Not so pashit. And there's room to differentiate, says the Gemara. Maldotem, perhaps I would think, hanami l'kayadim. Yeah, the axe is off limits. That's a professional tool. Shouldn't be used on yont. Aval koifetz v'kayadim, but the kardim aspect of the koifetz, the wide side of the koifetz, well, perhaps there's no concern there. It's a knife. Eimam migu de haigis is shari, perhaps just as the pointy side is mutter, haigis in amishari, the wide side should be mutter as well, because it's ultimately a knife, not really an axe. Kamashwan, the chiddush is no. If you want to use a koifetz, be careful to use the pointy side, which is generally not used in the context of chopping or splitting wood, rather than using the wide side of the koifetz, which is a relatively efficient wood chopper. So we have two versions in the Gemara. According to version one, we're mekel. Although you're not meant to use the kardim, it only applies to the wide side of the kardim, which is generally used for felling trees and chopping wood. But the sharp side is mutter, the pointy side is mutter. It's an improvised manner of splitting wood and chopping wood. According to version two, we're machmer. Not only is the kardim totally off limits, even within the koifetz, you can only use the pointy side. Continues the Mishnah, Bayis Shumali Paris. If you have a closed room, an inaccessible room, closed with a combination, you forgot the combination. There's no way to get in on Yom Tov. It's full of fruit, full of bananas. V'nivchas, and something happened on Yom Tov, the wall came apart, there you go. Fruit is accessible. Noitel, Mimokim Apchas, go ahead, you can reach in and access the fruit. Now, what's the chiddush here? Well, actually, how could it be mutter? The fruit within was trapped. It's mukta. So Rashi addresses that question. Let's just see in a minute. Rabbi Omer, apoiches lechatchila v'noitel. He says a chiddush. You can even remove the bricks to get to the fruit. I think Morrison will explain the reason for this. First, let's see Rashi explains the first halach. It's about 2-3 lines down. Masnissen. So you have a closed-up room which contains pears. Somehow, part of the wall collapsed, and the content is accessible. You can go ahead and reach through that hole and retrieve the fruit. And we don't say muktzin machmas isren. They're off limits. They're muktza. What kind of muktza? Why is fruit muktza? Machmas isren. On account of the fact that in order to access that fruit, you have to do a malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that's called Mukta Machmas Issa. The Issa prevents access. You can't break apart that wall on Yom Tov. And he sort of is Masiach Das. He gives up. It's Mukta. So how can the Mishnah allow use of the content? Answers Rashi. Here it's different. Because the Kivan Deloy have a Psychosa Yisur Derais. Because since breaking apart this wall does not entail Issa Deraisa. Why not? The Gemara soon will establish, will interpret our Mishnah to be speaking about uncemented blocks, just lined up one on top of the other, loosely fitting. Breaking that apart is not going to involve an Issa Deraisa. Issa Derabonon, yes, it appears like a structure, but it's not an Issa Deraisa of Soyser. It's not really a properly constructed structure. And therefore, says Rashi, a Chiddush. Since getting to the fruit doesn't entail Issa Deraisa, lav muktza ninu. It's not strong enough to make it muktza. Rashi brings a raya. Could the Omer Gabi Tevel? We find a similar loch by Tevel. Bishili Pirkin later on. Shu Muchanetz al Shabbos, considered non muktza. Why? Because separating truma and maser is issa d'rabbanan. Shim avar v'tikne mesukin. If somebody would transgress that issa, he would be mata the tevel achila. So since there is that potential in existence, and it's only issa d'rabbanan in your way, we don't consider it to be mukts. That's halacha number one. Rashi continues. Rav Meir is machalish apeches l'chatchila. He can actually remove those bricks and break apart the wall to access the fruit. Says the Gemara, Amai, why? Why are you allowing him to break apart this wall? The Gemara at this point doesn't yet know that it's uncemented bricks. Look at Sasar Allah. He's destroying a structure. Isa deraisa. Am Rav Nachomi, bar Adam Ashmo. Ba'avera de Livni was speaking about rows of levenim, of bricks, uncemented, unattached. And it's only an Isa deraban, which we suspend to enable Simcha Asyamtiv. Okay. Any says the Gemara, you're allowing breaking apart the wall because it's only Issa d'Rabbanon. Well, there are two Issa d'Rabbanon actually. That's a bit too much. There's Muktzah as well. V'om Rav Nachman, Hani Livni. You have these leftover bricks, the Yatam Binyana, which were left behind after construction. Shari, Litil Tulinu b'Shabbat. You can move them around on Shabbos. Hoyle v'chazi l'mizgalayu, since you can sit on them, it's considered a kli. However, Shraginu, he repiled them up, he lined them up in anticipation of his next construction job. Vadek Tzinu, he certainly now set them aside. It's Muktzah Machmach Chasar and Kis. It's construction material and off limits. Now, if that was said regarding piling up some loose bricks in anticipation of your next construction job, well, certainly now, Mishnah, we have a structure standing here, although uncemented, but it's a structure. He certainly wants it to remain there as long as possible. He's not intending on breaking apart this wall. It's Muktzah. It's meant to remain there as such. And now you have another concern aside from the Soyser, Oyel Medirabban, and he's actually moving around Muktzah. And that's allowed? A double Issur Drabban? Omer Rav Zera, yes. B'Yom Tov, Omer Rav Elbe Shabbos. You're right, on Shabbos don't do it. But on Yom Tov, on account of Simcha Asyantiv, where we find that Malachas can be done for Eichel Nefesh, well, we do away with the Isurei Durabbanan, a double Issa Durabbanan, breaking apart the oil, which is Issa Durabbanan in this case, and moving around Muktzah as well, to enable Simcha Asyantiv. So that's Rameyus Chiddush. Two Isurei Durabbanan can be suspended on account of Simcha Asyantiv, and apparently Rabbanan disagree. Perhaps one is the Rabbanan, but two is just one too many. Tanya Namihach, we find the same in a Braisa. Rabbi Meir Oimer, A Peiches Lachatchil Venoit L'Biyam Tivamru, Avalei B'Shabbos. This heter, removing bricks to access the fruit, is only for Yom Tov, on account of Simchas Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. So conclusion, at this point, we have like this. Fruit stuck in a house, which happened to fall apart, no problem, get to the fruit. Why is it not Muktzah? Rashi explained. We're speaking about bricks lying loosely one on top of the other, uncemented. It's only an Issa d'Rabbanan standing in the way between you and the fruit. There's no Muktzah. What about actually removing the bricks to access the fruit, which can potentially involve two Isurim? Melach of Soyser Oil Midrabbanan and Muktzah. Rabbeinu says, sure. Simcha Asyantiv, do what you need. According to Rabbanan, two Isurei d'Rabbanan are too much to allow in this case. Continues the Gemara. In similar vein, slightly related to the previous Gemara. Omar Shmuel Chay Sama Shebarkach. You have seals attached to the ground. Rashi explains. You have in-ground pools or wells covered by lids, which are now tied shut with ropes. So that's the chisam. It's a tied down, sealed. Chisam is bekarka. They're closing up in-ground structures. Matter. He can untie those knots, Rashi explains, because it's not a permanent knot. It wasn't meant to remain there permanently. It's meant to be open and closed. So untying is never a concern throughout the whole Gemara. Untying these knots, no problem. So that he can do. But he can't unravel, can't disrupt the rope itself, nor can he chop the rope. Why? Rashi explains, because He's doing soiser. He's destroying. He's demolishing an in-ground structure. Now, of course, it's not Issa Deraisa because it's not actually a strong structure. It's just a rope that he's cutting. But he's meddling. He's modifying. He's destroying an in-ground element, let's call it. So it's Issa Medirabonu. It's Issa Soiser Medirabonu. So untying, yes. But disrupting and cutting, unraveling is us. Shebekalim, however. These ropes or strings used to tie together the lid, to tie the lid shut in a kli, matter. So you can certainly untie it, of course. Umafkeh v'chaytich. You can even unravel the rope or chop it or cut it because it's a kli. And there's no binyan or stira by kli. It's mutter l'chadchil. Echad Shabbos v'echad Yantiv. This halacha, or these halachas, I should say, apply to Shabbos and Yantiv equally. So again, according to Shmuel, if it's in karka, you can untie, but no more than that. When it's in a kli, do whatever you need. And we don't have to friendship between Shabbos and Yantiv. Meisvei, listen to this kasha. Chosam shebek karka. These in-ground seals, these knots, these kisharim, holding together lids in the karka, b'Shabbos matter. You can certainly untie them on Shabbos, no concern. Avoloi mafkev lechaytech. But he can't unravel or cut them. B'yamtev an yamtev, v'momekel. Matter u'mafkev v'chaytech. Untie, unravel, and cut. Tekash an shmo. It doesn't allow more than untying, even if it's an yamtev. Hamani Rameir. Yeah, this Bryce is authored by Rameir, who says, you can suspend the Issa D'Rabbanan in the face of Simchas Yantiv. D'Amar, Av Peches, L'Chadchil V'Noitel. Remember our Mishnah? He says you can remove those bricks, although they're involved in Issa D'Rabbanan, to access your fruit. That's why he allows cutting the rope to get to the content. U'Pligi Rabbanan Aleh, and certainly the Rabban disagree. Just as in the Mishnah, they don't allow it. Here as well, follow the Amrik Rabbanan, I'm following the Rabbanan, who don't allow suspension of Issa D'Rabbanan to allow Simchas Yantiv. And therefore I said, Chesam HaShebekarka cannot be disrupted. Well, Lumi Pligi Rabbanan Lebi Chesam HaShebekarka? Do we then find any machlokes pertaining to this case of Chesam HaShebekarka? Vatani, listen to this brayse. Moedem Chacham Rab Meir B'Chesam HaShebekarka. Chacham agreed to Rab Meir in this case. Shabbos, of course on Shabbos there's no heter of Simchas Yantiv of Eichel Nefesh. But Shabbos matter, all you can do is untie. That's it. But he can't unravel or cut the rope. Okay. But Yantiv, however, when it comes to Yantiv, we do suspend the Issa D'Rabbanan to allow Simchas Yantiv. Matir mafkev v'chaytech. Untie, unravel, cut, no problem. This is the Rabbanan speaking. Because if here's only one Issa D'Rabbanan, and that can be suspended on account of Simchas Yantiv. In the Mishnah, yeah, over there, they didn't allow it because it was a double Issa D'Rabbanan. Remember, we had the Soyser plus Muktzah. But Chesam HaShebekarka, which only entail one Issa D'Rabbanan, even the Chacham agreed it's mutter. So where's Shmuel coming from? Shmuel doesn't allow this to be done. Says the Gemara, Huda Amar Kiyai Tana. He found another source, a different Tana, that when it comes to this Chesam HaShebekarka, which involves an Issa D'Rabbanan, even on Yom Tov, we don't allow it. We don't allow suspending even one Issa D'Rabbanan to enable Simchas Yom Tov. The Sanya, Chesam HaShebekarka. These in-ground knots, matir, you can unravel them, untie them. Avaloi mafkev lechaytich, but not unraveling or cutting. Echad Shabbos v'echad yamtiv. So this is Shmuel's source, even on yamtiv. We don't allow this to be done. Okay, so we found Shmuel's source. So bottom line is, when it comes to Chesam HaShebekarka, which only involves one Issa D'Rabbanan, we have Chacham and Rameir who hold that it's mutter for Simchas Yantiv, and Shmuel found a Tana that doesn't allow it. So we answered the kasha. We found the source for Shmuel's halacha. Now the Braisa continues. Usha b'kli, these chesamas that are attached to kelim, b'shabos matter, you can untie, right? Untying is never an issue. Avoloi mafkev lechaytich. But he can't unravel or cut the rope. B'yamtiv, matter, on Yom Tov we allow it. Untie, unravel, and cut. 1 second. This is very difficult to understand. Because Shmuel himself tells us, I don't allow chopping, unraveling, Chesam HaShebekarka. due to the Issa the Rabbanon involved. But if it's in a Kli, where no Seisa would apply, there's no din of building or demolishing when it comes to Kalim, then we allow even unraveling or chopping that rope. But the Brisa here disagrees. Even the Chesamas of Kalim, sure, on Yom Tov you can do what you need, but on Shabbos, only untying is mutar, no more than that. Tiraskelach Resha. Sure, you answered the first kasha on Shmuel. When Shmuel began, he said, Chesamas Shebekarka cannot be unraveled or cut, even on Yom Tov, which seemed to be a difficult statement. We found a source for that statement. Fine. We found a mucker. This Brisa. Ela Sefer Kash, what about the second part of Shmuel's statement? That when it comes to a Kli, it's unrestricted. You can untie, unravel, and chop, whether on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And this Brisa seems to disagree. That if it's Shabbos, you can't do more than untying, even if it's a Kli. That's a Kash on Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, Homani Rabbi Nechemi, you know what? It's an unrelated concern. It has nothing to do with building or demolishing. When the Brisa says you can't do more than untying the Kli on Shabbos, it's because of a Muktzah concern that has nothing to do with a discussion of Al Gemara. It's a new Shita from Nechemi who says you can never use even a Kli for a use that was not meant for that Kli. Damar, Kol HaKelim. You can only move a Kli if you plan on using it for its intended use. In this case, he needs a knife to unravel or chop his rope. A knife is meant to be used to cut food. You can't divert its use. You can't use it shaloi kederach tashmishoi as shita zrim lechemia. So it's a motzah concern. Fine, it's a new shita. But Shmuel wasn't following that shita. The prevalent shita in Muktzah does not hold of Rav Nechemia. So it's not a kasha on Shmuel. 1 second, says the Gemara, Ir Rav Nechemia, if you're working on Rav Nechemia, if that's what you're basing the Brisa on, well, then what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Brisa says, the Chesamashe B'Kelim can be untied, whether Shabbos or Yom Tov, but when it comes to more than that, unraveling or cutting the rope, on Yom Tov you can do it, but not on Shabbos. Well, according to Rav Nechemia, there's a Muktzah concern which applies equally to Shabbos or Yom Tov. Ma'ir Yishabbos, why is this only a Shabbos restriction? A full Yom Tov Nami, the same would apply to Yom Tov. Perhaps you'll say, there's a difference. Shani later Rav Nechemia. Rav Nechemia differentiates between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Being Shavuos to Shabbos, which is more Chomer, in which case you can't divert the knife for this purpose, or Shavuos to Yom Tov. To Nisit Rabban on Yom Tov, meaning Yom Tov is more Kal. You don't have this restriction. Is that so? That would explain the Brisa, but it's not really true. Is it true that he differentiates? We see clearly that he doesn't. We have a brisa which says like this. We're going to have 3 brises which seem to contradict each other. And the only way to reconcile, to answer the stira, is by saying that according to Rav Nechemia, this concept of limiting a knife for its intended purpose applies equally to Shabbos or Yom Tov. Let's see. Tani Chada, we have 1 brisa which says, Masikin Mekelim. You can actually use kalim, wooden utensils, as firewood, as fuel on Yom Tov. V'ein ma'asikin b'shivrei kalim, but you can't use kalim which happened to collapse, break apart on Yom Tov. Why? Because it wasn't designated for this use. It's like noilad. It turned into a new entity. It was unprepared and undesignated to be used in its current form. And it's Muktzah. This is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who says designation, preparation in advance is required. Betani Yedach, we have another Brisa, which says Masikin Bein Bekelim, Bein Shiver Kelim. You can use whether Kelim that are intact or broken Kelim, no concern. This is Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold that designation is required. And the 3rd Brisa, Betani Yedach, Ein Masikin Loi Bekelim, Veloi Beshiver Kelim. You can't use intact utensils or broken utensils. How's that? Umeshani, and the answer is, Loikasha. We're going to answer as follows. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the 1st brisa, which requires preparation and designation, is Rabbi Yehuda. Ha Rabbi Shimon, the 2nd brisa, which does not require preparation, is Rabbi Shimon. Ha Rabbi Nechemia, the 3rd brisa, which says you can't use any of these materials, you can't even use a whole Kli as fuel, is Rabbi Nechemia, who says, a Kli, use it for what it's meant to be used. You can't divert it for other uses. Now, stop for a second. What are we speaking? Shabbos or Yom Tov. Speaking about fueling, cooking, baking. It's Yom Tov. It's pretty clear that according to Nehemiah, we apply his concept to Shabbos and to Yom Tov as well. And in the Brice that we mentioned, we see a difference in Shabbos and Yom Tov. That the concept only applies to Shabbos and not to Yom Tov. So it's more Trei Tanoi. But leader Nehemiah, you have two versions of Nehemiah's opinion. According to one version, his concept applies to Shabbos and to Yom Tov equally. According to the other version, we differentiate in Shabbos and Yom Tov. So in summary, we discussed the sugya of chesamos, these seals, ropes, strings that are used to tie the lids shut, whether in ground or on kelim. So let's go through all the cases. The chesamos shebekarka. If it's Shabbos, you can untie. Now you realize that when it comes to untying, there's no restriction. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Karka, Kelim, it's all Mutter. Rashi explains, it's not a Kesher Shel Kayam, it's meant to be tied and untied on a regular basis. So Mutter is never a concern. However, Mafkia v'choytech, he wants to unravel, he wants to actually cut the rope. So on Shabbos, it's Aser. It's a Rabban, it's a Melach of Soyser Midrabban. On Yom Tov, we have the Chacham and Rameh who allow, on account of Simchas Yom Tov. We have the other Tana, which is actually the source for Shmuel's opinion. It doesn't allow suspending the Esed Rabban of Seisir even to enable Simchas Yom Tov. We have the Chesama Shebek Kelim. So if it's Shabbos, according to Rabban, go ahead, because there's no din of Seisir Baikli. According to Mechemi, since you're going to have to use a knife for its unintended purpose, unintended function, there's a mokso concern on its aser. What about on Yom Tov? Again, the Rabban allow. According to Rav Nechemya, we had a difference of opinion. Two versions of Rav Nechemya. According to one version, when it comes to Yom Tov, it doesn't have that restriction. You can use a knife for this purpose. According to the other version, even on Yom Tov, the same restriction applies. Okay, time for a quick chazara. What about gathering some firewood from the outdoors on Yom Tov? So we have two opinions. According to Shmuel, it needs to be taken from a safe and secure location, which you're really depending on for Yom Tov use, such as a karfeif. Number two, it had to have been gathered in advance, which is indicative of the fact that it was prepared in advance for Yom Tov use. According to Rav Shimon Lozer's version of events, either one of these two conditions can be met, can be matter, this firewood. Either location, it's in a karfif, which it depends on, or even out in the field, but if it's mechunas, it's gathered, piled together, that's indicative of the fact that it was mazmin for Yom Tov use. So one or the other. What is considered a karfif? For the point of our discussion, the maskan of the Gemara was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, needs to be samach lir, that's the determinant. According to Rabbi Yossi, one or the other, either close to the city or even farther away, as long as it's a secure area and needs a pesachas, you need a key to get in there. Ben a Mishnah, which tells us, keep away from chopping wood, which is muktzah. Now, if it's a non-muktzah entity, you can go ahead and chop it, but in a way which deviates from the norm, to avoid giving the impression of a malacha, of umnes, of a weekday activity. So the kardam is not meant to be used, but the kaifetz, yes. According to version 1 of the Gemara, which is Mekel, the kaifetz can always be used, and the kardam, well, the wide part not, but the pointy side, yes. According to version 2, the kardam is always off-limits. It's a professional tool. When it comes to a kaifetz, even then we limit its use only to the pointy side meant to split the wood as opposed to its wide side, which is a more efficient wood chopper. You have fruit stuck in a enclosed home and somehow the wall came apart, you can reach in and take out the pears. Can you actually pull apart the bricks which are uncemented to each other? According to Rabbanan, no. We have two Isuri Mukta, we have two Isuri Rabbanan, Saisir and Mukta. According to Rameir, we do away with two Isuri Rabbanan to enable access to that fruit on account of Simchas Yom Tov. We concluded the halacha of chesamos bekarka, chesamos bekelim, with a unique sheet of Rav Nechemya who says that all kelim, even a knife, can only be used for its intended purpose, otherwise considered muktzah. All the best to you and much atzlacha.